You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you have redemption? Were you purchased from slavery to sin? Do you have an inheritance which is reserved in heaven for you and cannot fade away? Have you been adopted into the very family of God and have the privileges of sonship before the King of Heaven? Do you have a present assurance that never is stolen from you, giving you confidence and courage in this world? Are you declared innocent before the throne of God, even though you violated so many of His laws?
If you are a believer in Christ, you are blessed by God with every spiritual blessing. His good gifts extend eternally beyond the physical blessings He provides. He came to give the most abundant life there is. Pastor Tom reminds you of the glorious promises and incredible gifts you receive the moment you believe in Jesus. He isn't stingy with His mercy or forgiveness. Even if you stray far from Him, He has compassion on you when you return to Him. He loves you and rejoices to give you good gifts. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, God's unvarying goodness to us.
So we have what? What do you have? You have a home? Did it survive the night? Was it blown down? You have transportation, you got here, you have clothes, you have food, you have friends. There's a whole kinds of things that are part of our creation that you enjoy every single day. Do you stop and think, all of this is from God. All of this He meant for my good. The unbeliever arrogantly takes credit for what God gave as good. He works with a hand, makes something and says, see what I made, and forgets that the eye and the hand were a gift from God. And even the stuff that he picked up to make it with was a gift from God. And the time and the health, and we can go on and on. The unbeliever is a thief. He steals the honor and glory from the one who deserves it and who gave good things. These good gifts also come from the world of redemption for those of us in Christ. If we're in Jesus, we're in Christ, and being in the sphere and the locale of Christ means that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you have redemption? Were you purchased from slavery to sin? Do you have an inheritance which is reserved in heaven for you and cannot fade away? Have you been adopted into the very family of God and have the privileges of sonship before the King of Heaven? Do you have a present assurance that never is stolen from you, giving you confidence and courage in this world? Are you declared innocent before the throne of God, even though you violated so many of His laws? Do you have the promise of future glorification and all the fun and joy and blessing and brilliance that comes from that? Well, they also are part of the perfect gifts that come from God. Our vast array of spiritual resources in the Lord Jesus Christ again come from hands that are open and giving and are blessing all day long. God richly pours out gifts every day. God is more generous than anybody in this room and all of us put together. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return to the Lord. Why should he return to the Lord? God is just and righteous. Won't he be angry? The verse is completed. Let him return to the Lord and he will have compassion on him and to our God and he will abundantly pardon. What kind of a God is that? A God who's generous and forgiving. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came into this world so that I might give all of my sheep the most abundant life that there is. Notice the gifts come from above, and that clearly indicates that they don't arise from earth. They don't arise from man. They come from above is a reference to God the Father. We don't thank Mother Earth. We thank Father God. They come from the heavenly sphere in contrast to the earthly sphere. Later in James 3, when we get there, it'll talk about wisdom that is from below and wisdom that is from above. And what wisdom is from below means it arises from the thoughts of man. And it can never get higher than man. It starts with man. It has man as the aim. It comes back to man and it argues in a circle. And it never has a basis for any true knowledge at all. It's not real wisdom. It's just the kind of educated wisdom that people think that they get today. It just kind of goes up and falls back down again. It's no good. The wisdom that comes down from above sees everything the way it needs to be seen. It understands in a much greater way. That's why it's real wisdom. Heaven is the place of origin of all good givings and all perfect gifts. You know, sometimes you eat chocolate or something that's really tasty. You eat it, you say, oh, it tastes so heavenly. It's because you know that that's the highest compliment you can give a gift, is that it comes from heaven, the best place. Notice it says it's coming down, and that's a present tense verb, meaning there's this continuous flow that is coming down from the Father of good and perfect things from above. Kata bino. Bino is to go, and kata is down. It shows the direction of God's blessing coming down. Good things are all wrapped up there in heaven, but then they're sent down, UPS, to descend to us in a continuous flow of blessing. Is that the picture you have of God when you pray to Him? Is that the picture you have of God when you're meditating at home? Is that the way you view your Heavenly Father towards you? Unfortunately, one of the clearest indications of a lack of faith in God's goodness is that nemesis called complaining. Why is it such a sin to complain? Because it's a denial of the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is a cardinal doctrine that's at the core of how we live our lives. If you don't believe in the goodness of God, you will eventually fall away from the faith. You will eventually go away and not come back. You have to believe. This is something that you will treasure and hold to you. God is good to me. Then why do I complain? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. In everything give thanks. Does God deserve our thanks? Does God deserve our thanks? Does He deserve your thanksgiving every day? Not just a Thanksgiving day, every day. It is always God's will that we thank. Not ourselves. There's the arrogance of the unbeliever. He thanks himself. He has thanksgiving, and he looks at himself and gives thanks to himself. What a fool. We don't give thanks to Mother Nature. Mother Nature doesn't think. Mother Nature doesn't have a design, a purpose. All that we think is a design and purpose that comes from nature is the Father's purpose for us. You ever hear of people that thank their lucky stars? Really? We're not to thank Allah. Allah is not the God of the Bible. He's a false representation of the true God who spoke through true prophets, not false prophets. We're not to give thanks to Buddha. We're not to give thanks to other sources. Give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is above. He writes next, specifically, that He is the Father of lights. Do you see that? I love that little title. Father of lights means the originator of lights. He's the one who caused the lights to be. What do the lights refer to? The lights refer to Genesis chapter 1, where God put lights into the sky on the fourth day of creation. He put the greatest light, the sun. He put a lesser light, the moon, to govern the night. And then it says He made the stars, all the lights, which includes all the planets and everything that is up there that shines. It's that broad of a term. He originated them all. He is the Father, and He is the Father of the lights. He's also called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That makes Him our Father. In Ephesians 1, He's called the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I like that also. As the Father, He is the originator, and He is the governor of all things. Everything. That's His sovereignty. I like Kurt Richardson's quote. He says, God's governance over all things is impeccable and benevolent. He does it in a perfect way, and it's always generous. So He made the bright sun. He made the glowing moon, the myriad of twinkling stars, the rotating planets. How did He make them? It says that God spoke and they came forth. How does that work? Nobody knows. He spoke and they existed. He called them ex nihilo, out of nothing. There was nothing, and He spoke, and He created them out of nothing. Ultimately, the atheist has to believe the dumbest thing possible, and that is everything that exists came from nothing. That's all he has to work with, is nothing. And I always remind people, nothing means nothing. There's nothing there. There's no design, there's no matter, there's no energy, there's nothing. That's all the atheist has to work with. Everything was created by nothing. You either go that route or you say everything was created by God. You really don't have any other option to choose. One is absurd, the other is very logical. The image of light also speaks of the goodness of God. He made lights, and the lights penetrate the darkness, and the light shines in the darkness, and it dispels ignorance, it dispels not being able to see what is true, and the light is good. I love 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in Him is what? No darkness at all, not even the slightest little speck of darkness. Yet the main point is that God, being the Father of these lights, is greater than all of the lights. God is immutable. There's a big word. What does it mean that God is immutable? It means that he never changes. He is who he is. He will never alter or change from his being. We grow, we change. We catch up with old friends and we say, my, how they've changed. Even mountains change. But here, even the lights in the sky change, but God never varies. God never deviates, even to the smallest degree. Notice it says, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. That term variation indicates a change from a course or a pattern. It's the word trape, alteration. It includes all the little shifts of the heavenly bodies, the solstices and the eclipses, all of those things. Yes, even the sun changes. Actually, you can go online and they have a time-lapsed picture of the sun over so many months or whatever, and you can watch all the little explosions on it. It's fascinating. It's altering and changing and moving all the time, little explosions. Yes, it changes. It's the greatest light that there is, and yet it's still inferior to the light of God because the light from God's being never alters, never changes. The sun moves through the sky. Its shadow is cast upon the earth. God never is changed at all. That's the point. I like Edmund Hebert's quote on this. He captures it well. He says, as the earth, the sun, moon, and stars move in their ordained courses, we observe the interplay of light and darkness, day and night, the longest and shortest day of the year, the waning and waxing of the moon, eclipses, and the movement of the planets. Nature is subject to variation and change. Not so with God. In him there is never such turning because of any change in his nature or purpose. The light from him is constant and unvarying. The heavenly bodies move about all the time. They have their variation. Not God. God's goodness is constant. If you could think of a light that never, ever changes or never casts a shadow, it so fills the room that everything is constant and bright. It's hard to even imagine that. With God, there's not even the slightest shadow of turning, no shifting shadow at all. There's that famous hymn, you know, great is thy faithfulness, right? O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. He was meditating on this very verse, I'm sure. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and what? Forever. He doesn't change in the essence of his character. Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. And that's a good thing for them because that means he keeps his promises to Israel. The created lights are thus inferior to the greater light. The constant shining grandness and glory of God is that greater light. God cannot lead us into sin and into evil. There is no darkness or evil in him at all. He's constant, perfect light. He sends out constant rays of blessing without variation. What's the application of this? Dr. MacArthur nails it on the head. Let me read you his quote. When we as God's children are so abundantly and continually showered with the most gracious, valuable, and satisfying blessings our Heavenly Father can bestow, why should anything evil have the slightest attraction to us? If we know that what He gives to us helps us, makes us happy, blesses us, completes us, why do we turn to the vain things of the world to try to find some satisfaction in them as if they hold more promise for our happiness and our future than God Himself does? What a great quote. The preeminent example of God's goodness toward us is one special gift. You might say, well, that's Jesus. Yes, but it's what Jesus brought to us. Look secondly at verse 18. Specifically, when you think of all the gifts that you could have from God, what is the one maybe you're most thankful for of all? And he says it is our new birth, our new life in Christ caused by being born again, our new birth. Oh, this is such a blessing, beloved. Our new nature, our new birth, the very life we possess, and everything good comes from the life we have. It's everlasting life. It is the preeminent gift of God to us, and it proves his goodness, which is what his design is here in verse 18. It says, in the exercise of his will, that's God, in the exercise of God's will, God brought us forth by the word of truth. Brought us forth is birthing terminology, and it's a birthing kind of image. Birth is the verb apokueo. By the way, it's the same verb that's used in verse 15. The contrast was intended and should not be missed. Sin brings forth death. God brings forth new life. What a contrast. That's what sin does to us. It brings forth death, but God brings forth life. God birthed us to something beneficial and perfect, and it's called new life. This is obviously referring to our being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Another way of putting this is 1 Peter 1:3, where it said, God caused us to be born again. God caused that. Just another way of saying God brought believers out of a realm where they would be hurt, a realm where life would not be good for them, where existence would be painful. That is, he brought them out of the realm of death, and he transferred them into the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life. And in bringing us into life, that bringing us into life is the clearest intent that he loves us and is good to us and means the best for us. It is, as one book said, the life of God in the soul of a man. This refers to regeneration, our wonderful and blessed doctrine of regeneration. Regeneration is the instantaneous creation wrought in the soul by the Holy Spirit, producing new life in us, and with it, new godly desires, new godly inclinations, and a whole new course of life. Regeneration is that which makes you participate in the life to come, the life of God. It is your second birth. Remember how we talked to Nicodemus? You've had one birth. It's a physical birth. You can't see the kingdom of God until you have a second birth. And Nicodemus was like, what are you talking about? I can't enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born, can I? And he said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born out of the Spirit or from the Holy Spirit is spirit. That's the kind of birth he's talking about. Wayne Grudem says, regeneration is a secret act of God in which he imparts new spiritual life to us. The Evangelical Dictionary Theology says regeneration or new birth is an inner recreating of fallen human nature by the gracious sovereign action of the Holy Spirit. And it cites John 3 as its evidence. Please notice how this shows the goodness of God to us. God is good because he gave us this gift. You would know that. Someone brings you the very best gift at Christmas time or on your birthday, and you're like, wow, this must have cost thousands of dollars. I can't believe you sacrificed to bring this to me. You would immediately embrace that person and say, this person's looking after me. This person cares about me. This person was sacrificing for me. This person is good to me. Well, God has given you, believer, everlasting life, and that covers every other blessing that you're going to have for all of eternity. He gave you that. He caused the new birth for you. It is our new birth. We are born again. And it was his choice to do that. It was the exercise of his will. That's what it says. In the exercise of his will, he caused it. That word for will, it's a strong word in Greek. It's boulomai. In fact, it's emphatically in front in the sentence in Greek, and that means we're supposed to focus on that. It is his will that brought us forth. Not our will, his will. He made a decision, and he decided he wanted to bring us out of death and into life. If that doesn't prove his goodness, I don't know what would. And it's an aorist active verb. What does that mean? That means it was a deliberate and specific act of his own will. God has a volition. He decides what he wants to do. Nobody influences that will. He doesn't have to listen to anybody. He's been around forever, and he's omnipotent. He just makes a decision, and somewhere in there, he decided, I want to be very good to my creation, and I want to grant them everlasting life. He's good. It was a sovereign decision to grant you life. Think about that. He could have determined anything, and he determined that you would get a new birth. It's amazing. Calvin underscores this in his commentary. He says, God did this of his own will. That implies no other will constrained him to make this decision. Our will did not prevail on his. His is the greater will. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 say exactly the same truth as James 1:18. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and then it says God made us alive. Do you remember that passage? God made us alive in Christ. Listen, beloved, our choices, our faith does not cause us to be born again. That is not true. Your faith did not cause you to be born again. You could not cause your new birth. It was in the exercise of God's will that he caused your new birth. Your belief is not the energy out of which the new birth happened. We come to faith in Christ precisely because God has already birthed us. He births us, and as we are birthed like newborn infants that come out of the womb and they begin to breathe, our faith is like that breath. We breathe and have faith because God has made us alive. Faith does not cause the new birth, God does. Jesus said, "Do not be amazed that I said to you, Nicodemus, that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes." Oh, it sure does, doesn't it? "And you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." The new birth is by the moving wind of God and His sovereign choice to blow wherever He wants to blow. And He decided He wanted to blow into your life, so to say, and cause a new birth for you. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The new birth is by the will, the bulamai of God. It's caused by the Holy Spirit. Man's will is not involved in the new birth at all. It is caused by God completely. Again, a quote from Dr. MacArthur is helpful. "Not only theologically," he writes, "but logically, that is the only way life could be given to those who are dead. The dead have no awareness or understanding of sin, no desire to turn from it, and no power or resources to change if they wanted to. They do not, of course, even know that they are dead." I like that. "No child has ever been born into the world by its own will or plan. Its conception, gestation, and birth are completely out of its consciousness and control. It is merely the passive recipient of the will and the action of its parents." Do you get the parallel? "Just as certainly no person wills, much less creates, a new spiritual nature within himself." Regeneration is totally the will of God, the action of a sovereign God to grant that to you when you didn't even know you needed it. John 1, 12 and 13 says, "As many as received Christ, to those people he gave the right to become children of God." What a privilege to be a child of God, right? Then it goes on and it says, "Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." Dr. Will Varner says, "The maker of lights was sovereign in his creation of his natural children in the heavens. He was also sovereign in the timing of his creation of his supernatural children on earth." He spoke, and the stars had absolutely no say whether or not they would come into existence. They didn't help God plan their arrival. They don't think. God spoke and they arrived. And God spoke to you and he gave you new life, and that's why you're alive. It was completely a choice of his. It's even hinted at in the Old Testament with the prophet Ezekiel, who speaks of days to come when the nation of Israel would be blessed and shows God the sole actor in regeneration. He says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart." Notice what he says. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." He does it. He does it all. The new birth is his work, and it is a drastic work. It is a drastic beginning. It's not like some of the liberal persuasion of Christianity like to say, well, getting the new birth is just kind of like making a resolution, you know, on New Year's, where you just want to try to be a little bit better, a reforming of the old life. That is not what new life is at all. Physical birth marks our entrance into the world, and it's a drastic new beginning, right? Everything that we've been doing in life is because we were born. We got the life, we were born, and now we live. It all flows from that. It was drastic, it was life-altering, it changed everything. And so also, being born again initiates new life in Christ. It is an entirely new life. It's not even our life. It's Christ's life in us. Remember what Paul said? "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but what? Christ lives in me. It's his life God chose to put inside of me."
Unlike human creation, who are only able to occasionally give good things, God is abundantly always good to his children. Every good thing comes from him. He even uses the trials in your life for your good. Today, Pastor Tom reminded you of the incredible spiritual gifts God gives, including redemption, forgiveness, and promise of future glorification and eternal life with him. Return to him and he will welcome you back with compassion. If you enjoyed today's message on Discover Hope, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to ask you to prayerfully consider donating to this ministry to help us expand the reach of the gospel. You can give securely online at hopebible.org. Do you live in the area of Columbia, Maryland? If so, you're invited to become part of our Sunday morning gatherings here at Hope Bible Church. Join us for a morning of Bible study, worship, and fellowship. Find out more by visiting our website. Again, that's hopebible.org. By the word of truth and the sacrifice of His Son, God has given you a new birth. He could have determined anything in this world, but He determined for you to have new life. It's a privilege. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will explain the regeneration that happens because God wills it to happen in your life. It is a complete inner recreating of you from a fallen, sinful human to righteous and redeemed when you believe in Jesus. Thanks for tuning in today for Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Tom, visit hopebiblechurch.org. There's much more to learn from the book of James, so we hope you'll join us again right here on Discover Hope.